Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to talk to you today about having a heart for God's house, having an affection towards the Lord. So many times our sermons are about bless me, help me, feed me, and that's great. And we should always want to do that. And this will bless you and help you and feed you. But at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to say, hang on, God, what can I do for you? To be a good husband or a good wife, you got to say, hey, what can I do for you? Everybody shout amen to that, right? Amen. So in any kind of relationship, there's a reciprocation that goes on. And so today I just want to share with you about what God would want you to do. What do you want to do with your life? Because ultimately, our life is not our own. How many of y'all like me and you probably know some of the things that should have killed you a little bit? Raise your hand. How many of y'all are assuming that there are things that definitely probably killed you that the Lord didn't even show you? The truck that missed you, the guy that you didn't go out with. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. These are all the guardian angels around us that help us and lead us through life. So the least we can do is give back towards the Lord. Not being empathetic or kind of haphazard. Having a passion towards Jesus in His house. Especially now when all of our attention cycles are real short. How many of y'all like me and your attention span's getting shorter and shorter? All right, so we on Instagram or social media, everything has to be little sound bites. But God is not a microwave God. He's a crockpot God. And sometimes it takes time for Him to do what He wants to do, but He also wants time with us. So today I want to talk about that, having a heart for God's house. And so in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, it says this. It says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of God, in addition to all I have prepared for the holy house, I have a private treasure of gold and silver, which I am giving to the house of my God. In other words, David was saying, hey, I'm going to give everything that I own, my heart, my time, my talent, my treasure, everything to God. Instead of saying, you know what, I'll be haphazard about it. I may come to church. I might not come to church. I may read my Bible. I might not. We're saying, no, I'm all in. Now, I'm 48, and I know what you're thinking. You don't look a day over 47, and thank you for saying that. It's so kind. But at 48, I've watched enough life happen, especially from the seat that I sit in, to know it just doesn't go well without God. You think it's okay to do that, but it just doesn't work out. You think it's okay to cheat on your wife, but it's just not going to work out. You know, she's going to kill you. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. If you think it's okay to cheat on your taxes, it doesn't work out. In the end, what works out is when you have a consecrated heart towards God and the things of God and the house of God. Now, my grandmother, she was kind of really way before her time in the sense that she was a woman pastor. I had an affinity towards women pastors because of her. And I didn't go to Bible school where they told you, let the women be silent in church, all these scriptures that they take out of context and get calmed by the text. I had none of that. I just loved women preachers because my grandma was one. I also believe that women are better drivers, and I know guys are going to hate me, but they can shift gears, drive, adjust the mirror, drink coffee, put on lipstick, and slap your baby in the back seat. Come on. A guy can't do that. And if you are putting lipstick on, shame on you, Mr. Kardashian. Okay, so we got things that they can definitely do. And so my grandmother, Sunday wasn't a day where she thought, well, I may go to church. She started setting out her clothes on Thursday. She set out her girdle. Come on, somebody ought to understand. My grandma knew how to cook. 300-pound woman. Girdle here, hat here, shoes here. She was ready on Thursday with a preparation towards the house of God, believing that when she got to God's house, God was going to do something in her life. She, in turn, was going to help somebody else's life. So here's the scary thing about life. Your kids are going to be like you. If you're a liar, they're going to be a liar. If you go to church, they're going to go to church. If you love God, they love God. Your kids will be what you are. If you don't like your kids, maybe it's a reflection of you. So my dad obviously followed in her path. So when I was growing up, he said, we're going to pay off our house so we can buy a plot of land at 1416 Larkin Williams Road, and we're going to build a church. And so he took his deed to his house, took it to Lehman Bank, and they gave him a loan, and he said, I'm consecrated my life. I'm bringing my gold, my silver, I'm all in. He would take us dumpster diving, and he would throw me over the dumpster at Broad Dugan, and I would take all the paint cans that people didn't like the paint, and he piled it in the garage because he had a plan. He said, we're going to mix all this together. And when we had enough 50-gallon drums, he got a drill, and he made the Faith Church color. We went to the carpet store, and we got free carpet samples, and we carpeted the nursery with double-sided tape. We mowed the grass. We sealed the parking lot because he consecrated his life, and he consecrated our family's life and saying, we're going to build a church so somebody else could be free, because we know that the local church is the heartbeat of God. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. He said when you're sick, come up to the front. Call for the elders of the church. We are the church, the ecclesia, the body of Jesus Christ. We have a job to do. We have a world to win. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. We got to consecrate ourselves towards the Lord. So this, yeah, I feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to church. There's a day coming for you where you don't want to go to church. I meet him every Sunday. Met one today. Please pray for me. My wife left me. Never seen him, but every third, fourth Sunday. She left me. Well, of course she left you. I told you she was going to leave you. Because you cannot do what you want to do all the time. Because when you do that, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There is a wide road that leads to eternal life, and there's a narrow to hell, and there's a narrow road that leads to eternal life. So not every path that everybody says you can take leads to God. I love Oprah. I think she's awesome. I want Nicole to go on her show. I mean, I think she's great. I don't get my spiritual advice from Oprah. I don't get it from Dr. Phil. I get it from St. Paul. I get it from Mark. Somebody ought to help me. I get it from Luke, because this is the Word of God. There are not many ways to heaven. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. No, he said, I am the way. So we have a job to do, which is build the local church, consecrate ourselves to it, so people's lives can be changed. So why a building? Why did your dad build buildings? Why do you want buildings? Because, you know, I found that people typically in America don't like to have church outside. It's either too hot or too cold. You need a building. Plus, God said that he wanted us to build a sanctuary for him. So, you know, to me, it was very easy for me when my dad died, and I knew that God was calling me to consecrate myself to the local church. And I remember, and I got to set this up because I don't want people to think that I make a lot of money at the church, because I don't. I was rich when I started the church. And I want everybody to know that. Multimillionaire, did great. I made a lot of money. My wife made a lot of money, like $100,000 a month. So she made. So I loved her, not just because she was beautiful. I loved her for so many reasons. Come on, somebody ought to help me. So I told her, we're not getting a prenuptial. A prenuptial sets you up for failure. Whatever is yours is mine. Whatever is mine is mine. Come on, somebody help me now. And so we went into it, that relationship. But now we had this barn that was about the balcony here, and it was full of horses. And I had another wing off the barn. It was full of cars. And I had everything you could want. And I loved God. I went to church. I was there every Sunday with you, Joe. But I was a businessman. Nicole was a businesswoman. And I walked around the front of my house to this big fountain. And I heard the Lord say, someday you're going to regret all this. I'll never forget it. He said, I want you to sell everything you own and start a church. I told Nicole. She said, let me tell you what's going on right now. Your dad just died. You're having all this post-depression. You can't make life-altering decisions. And in the natural, she was right. But I knew it was God. And I went to Branson to a meeting. A friend of mine was preaching, and he didn't know anything that was being said. In the middle of his sermon, he just looks over and says, you got to take off that backpack. You've got a great work to do. You got too much stuff holding you back. I was thinking about horse feed, tractors, car batteries, jet ski batteries. He said, strip it off. You got to move. And I looked at Nicole and I said, catch me outside. How about that? We got to move. And so then there was a knock at the door, and we were in a house that we had bought for $165,000. A guy said, hey, I want to buy it. I said, I don't want to sell it. He said, I want to buy it. I said, I don't want to sell it. He said, here's a check for $1 million. And that's when I yelled, Nicole, get your panties. We're moving. And so we took all of our money, and we took all of our time, and we moved on this side of 270, and Nicole wanted to live at least on this side. She had never lived on that side. And I moved on a street, and I started witnessing to my neighbors. Had a church of 180 people. Took all of our money and spent it on the church. We put in new carpet. We put in new lights. We took all of our resources and we invested in the kingdom of God. And strippers started getting saved by the hundreds. The church grew at 15% every Sunday. These people didn't have any money, but for the first time they felt like somebody wasn't going to judge them. And it wasn't a Baptist church and it wasn't a Pentecostal church. It was the Church of Jesus Christ, which is Catholic and Baptist and Protestant. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And we built a church in St. Louis with our own dang money so that we wouldn't get kicked out. Because you can't wear this in a mega church unless you started it. You can't preach like this in a giga church, which is anything above 10,000, unless you started it. But you know what? I'm going to go down being the same guy that I was when I started it, which is not pointing the finger at you this way, not thinking that we're too good for the up and out or the down and out. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm going to consecrate myself still with that passion of being dumpster diving for Jesus. That's what you do with your life. That's how you consecrate your life. That's how you get great reward, not only here, but in heaven. Have affection. Verse 3, one more time. Verse 3, one more time. It says that we should have affection. I set my, you do it yourself. I set my affection on the house of God. There's a lot of things you can set your affection on. You can set it on money. That's fine. You can set it on a yacht. That's fine. I'm not against any of this. I was on a yacht in the Bahamas last week with a guy from our church only because he sold 17 Taco Bells and he said that the only way he was going to give the money for the matching funds is if I went to the Bahamas and got on his boat. I did not want to go to the Bahamas. Nicole said, you're going to the Bahamas. So I went, got the check for 2 days and came home. I'm not against you having a yacht. They call them yachts because it costs a yacht of money to operate them. But I will tell you this, that I'd be just as happy if I was on a canoe in Flat River or in the Black River. And not against people having money. But I'm against money having you. Where is your heart? Is your heart towards the house of God? Is your affection towards the house of God? Does what breaks God's heart break yours? What about the email I got yesterday from the ambulance that says, if this girl who was dying had not had the ambulance for $70,000 that you bought, that she wouldn't have made it. What about that? But we get so self-absorbed. And I'm telling you, I think about me way too much. I think about my stuff way too much. I think right now, like I said on the way here, I hate my iPhone. I got like an iPhone 7 or 8. Nicole has a 10. It's better. It's faster. Everything's better. I don't want to get the new one until the new one comes out in the fall. But I'm thinking about, are you kidding? What am I thinking about? I'm asking you, what are you thinking about? Will you consecrate yourself on the house? The next verse, for the sake of time, let's go on down to verse 5. It says, hey, the gold are things of gold and silver, things of silver. They're bringing all this stuff in to build God's house. For all the work must be done by the hands of craftsmen. In other words, we're not going to build God some slouchy house. It's going to be nice. Then he asks a question. It's a great question we need to ask ourselves today. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? I decided what I was going to do with my life was I was going to dedicate it to God. And so when I moved on that street, I didn't know that my neighbor needed me. The Bible said, love your neighbor as yourself. And I didn't know that his wife was dying of cancer. And we were able to minister to them. And we were able to help them. And if I hadn't lived on that street, I wouldn't have met Gary. And I wouldn't have been able to bury his wife. I would not have introduced him to his new wife because she was a dream teamer here as he began to serve. I would not have known the bank, Montgomery Bank, because he built out all Montgomery banks. So he gave me an audience with Montgomery. And if I hadn't have sold my house and moved on that street, I wouldn't have got the loan because I had no backing. I wouldn't have been able to have Gary tell me, I own a construction company, I'll help you build it out. And so he brought in all of his company and they helped me build out our city and wrote a check for $100,000, my neighbor, to help me build a church. When that guy moved, because Gary's life went so well, and we married him right there in the home on the street that Nicole didn't want to move on. Now, all of a sudden, this gal that he married, she doesn't want to live there, and understandably so. She wants a new house, so they sell it. A guy named John Page, who owns Page Law Firm here in town, he moves in. I don't even know if the guy knows Jesus, but he knew who I was. He called this church, asked to meet with me for 30 minutes. I met him up here. I talked to him for 30 minutes. He asked me some questions about business. At the end, he walked away, and I said, that's a nice suit. I said, how much something like that costs? You know, because you can tell it's tailor-made. He says, about $5,000. He said, I'll send somebody to your house today, and they'll make you one. I said, no, send me the money. And he said, no, So he sent a guy over, and they made me a suit. This suit's $99. I bought it myself. But he had it made. He put Ferragamo shoes on me, a Ferragamo belt, my neighbor. Later, he sent a check for $50,000 to this church. The guy doesn't even come to this church. I don't even know necessarily that he has a relationship with Jesus like some of you. But I'm just telling you, when you consecrate yourself to God, it looks like you're selling the farm, but you're actually going on a mission for God. Somebody ought to help me today. Are you going to consecrate yourself to God? Are you going to win people everywhere? Are you going to bring yourself to church? Are you going to bring your kids to church? Because consecrated people develop consecrated kids. When Nicole and I got married, she had a 7-year-old son, Austin. And his dad is a tremendous guy. I always loved Kurt. Our relationship, I always told Austin, you got two dads. And his dad is like an incredible professional cusser. He's a businessman, but he's the, like, if anybody drops the F-bomb in all the right cool places, it's him. He cusses like, oh no, with an anointing. It's a phenomenal cusser. And so Austin grew up playing ball with his dad, and I never said anything bad about his dad. Then Austin went to college, got all his degrees, and his dad got him a 6-figure job. And Austin came to me right out of college, and he said, I know you think I'm going with my dad, but I've got to stay with my father. And today he's pastoring in West Palm Beach, Florida, because when you consecrate yourself to God, I didn't do everything right, but I tell you what, when you bring your kids to the house of God, even when you don't feel right, do right, because you're going to want them to do right later. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm telling you the truth. I'm saving you your marriage. I'm keeping you together. Do it. Consecrate your affairs to God. Because any other life outside of consecrating your life towards Jesus, trust me, it's nothing. Because at the end of this trail, and it's going to happen to all of us, nobody gets out of here alive. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And I know where I'm going, and perhaps you know where you're going, but here's what keeps me up at night. Here's what makes me do what I do. Because you really don't know what it costs me to be me. If you did, you'd feel sorry for me. But I do it for the woman who came and said, oh my God, I need this church so bad. I came home last night and my husband was hanging from the ceiling fan. I do it for the woman that I met in that right corner 2 weeks ago, that she came to church and her husband came to church and he got saved, but he put a gun here and blew his brains out, and I talked to her there. I do it for the stuff you see trending called suicide. The devil's on a mission, and you see Kate Spade and famous people, but I see people all over St. Louis County. I see all the pain that's happening in the world, and I'm just saying that God sees all of it, and he looks at us and says, will you consecrate yourself to me? Will you invite people to church? Will you bring people to church? Will you sow your time, your talent, your treasure? Will you forsake it all and go for God? And again, I'm not asking you to sell your big house. That's fine. But make sure there's the right percentage going to God. I'm not asking you not to go on a yacht, because it would be hypocritical of me. If God has blessed you, I'm glad he blessed you. But make sure you understand it's God who blesses you, and you need to bless God. And we also need to stop just saying, God bless America. And we need to say, America bless God. Somebody ought to help me right now. We are blessed. We live in the greatest country in the world. You walked in here, you're on your own 2 feet. I don't see an oxygen tank anywhere. We're healed. We're blessed. We're delivered. We're equipped. We are the church that God's coming back for, and it's a glorious church. It's a powerful church. Come on, preach back to me with some intensity. Woo! I'm sharing my heart with you. I want to dedicate my life to helping people. So the question is, again, who then is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? And I want to let you know that I'm still the same guy I was when I started. Our church in Florida there, God gave us another building, so we have 2 campuses now, and we're actually meeting in a high school, and it looks almost just like this. They spent a lot of money on this high school, and it's beautiful. But out front of the church, when that hurricane kind of blew through a while back, a year or so ago, the trees blew over, and the school didn't have the money to cut the trees down because the government isn't properly run, right? And so we cut the trees down ourselves, but then the stumps are sitting there, and every Sunday it just drives me crazy when I walk in there, because it bugs me, because that's not just a school. That's the house of God for us. And by the way, they told me this week that that school went for, I don't know all those the codes, but it went from whatever the lowest school is, like a class D or something, and it moved up this week 3 notches. Because the church is there. So Scott Ray, one of our dream teamers, he went down this week as a women's conference. And so I saw Scott's truck. I said, Scott, do we have any chains? He said, yeah. So we took the chains at nighttime. And we went out to the school and we wrapped it around the root rod. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw this. And we pulled it out with that big truck. You hear it cracking. We're playing the songs. I hear the chains falling. And then there's this big root rod. We took shovels and we beat the dirt off of it and we filled the hole. And by beating the dirt off of it, now we can lift it and put it in the truck. And this Sunday, I wasn't there. Nicole's there preaching. But I'm telling you, when they pulled in this week, not everybody noticed it. But I'm telling you, I believe God noticed it. And my philosophy is if you're faithful over what is not yours, God will give you that which is yours. And if you're faithful over the little, God will make you ruler over the much. And I don't say that to impress you. I say to impress upon you. If you're serving, serving. If you're not serving, you're probably swerving. If you haven't went to Growth Track, today's the day. If you're not a tither, do it. If you're not an over and above giver, maybe you're not an over and above liver. But if you give your whole life to God, your time, your talent, your treasure, you will live the life that you only thought possible seeing other people in a magazine. Now, I want you to go with me to Psalms 112, verse 5. Good will come to him who is generous. He who conducts his affairs with justice, surely he will never be shaken. That means when economy comes, trouble comes, trial comes, you will never be shaken. When you know who you are, you're not scared much. You know, people actually know who I am, so I bring comfort to people. Airplanes, I fly, I don't know, couple hundred thousand miles a year, and every week I'm on a plane, and people, if I'm St. Louis or West Palm, that's typically where I'm going, people get on the plane and they go, oh, thank God, we're going to be okay. I'm like, you don't even know if like I'm a heathen, you know what I mean? You don't even know me. But they feel relief because they know I represent God, and they think that nothing's going to happen to the plane because I'm on it. It brings them relief. I'm just telling you, that you are a child of God, and every plane that you get on will never be shaken. It will not go down. Your marriage won't fail. Somebody ought to say amen to this right now. You're hurting me, bud. Help me. Help me. He that's generous, he who conducts his affairs with justice, surely he will not be moved or shaken. And I love this last part. It says, a righteous man will be remembered forever. What will you be remembered for? When I think about my grandma being one of the first women preachers in America and the hell she went through to do that, even though it was just a small scale, she was no Joyce Meyer. But in Russellville, Arkansas, she planted a church from nothing. And she was a woman who had my grandfather, who I love very dearly, but he wasn't a good supporter of her. And I would sit on her little lap, which is only about this big, and she'd feed me and talk to me and tell me about Jesus. She would say, you're called to preach, boy. You're going to preach. And it never went away. When I was acting a fool and doing stupid stuff that I shouldn't be doing, I still had this little thing saying, someday you're going to preach. And I was working on my testimony. Come on, somebody. But now I got something to preach about to people that have kind of done the same dumb things I've done. But I remember my grandma for those things. You got somebody in your life that you remember, prayed for you, that loved you, believed in you. But there's a whole lot of people who don't have that. When God asked me to start the church in the Ferguson-Florissant area, I knew I was going to do it. And then just for fun, you know, the church got big, so people do demographic studies. I never did it. I just went where God told me to go. But they did it, and they brought it to me, and they said, hey, you know, the average income over there is $24,294. I said, what's that mean? They said, well, the average income in Sunset Hills is like $68,000. Our city is like $72,000. Walden Springs like $85,000. These are bad numbers. I said, oh, good. It's great to know because I don't live by them. I live by him. And God told us to go by this church. And out of the clear blue, some heathen. Heathen. He doesn't even mind me saying he's a heathen. He kind of likes being a heathen. A heathen called me and said, I know you're wanting to build that church, and if you can get your church to give $1 million, I'll give $1 million. I said, well, how long does it take you to get $1 million? He said, how long do you think it takes for me to write a check? And so I said, okay, let's do it. Then I called a couple people that knew him because he was friends with several NFL players that called this their home, and it was good. And so we only get the million if we raise the million. So I want the ushers right now to kind of take these brochures and go and give it to you. If you don't have one of these brochures, even if you don't plan on, you don't have any money to give, I say you get it and you start speaking over to it and say, God, what would you have me to do? And God, if you're going to ask me to give, then you must be able to give money to me. And money has to not just come to me, it needs to go through me. Raise your hand if you don't have this or you would like to have an additional one for your house or your car. Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed. This is time asking you to consecrate yourself to the Lord. I'm asking you right now to help me build God another church. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to build a church just like we built this church. And lives are going to be changed just like we built and changed lives here. But what I want you to do is I want you to be remembered, and I want your kids to see you not just make life about you. Will you consecrate yourself to the Lord? When I think about even the guy that built this church, Pastor Rick Shelton, Pastor Rick and the team of people who built this church, they sacrificed their life to build it. Then the church declined and things happened, and we started sowing into their ministry, not even knowing God was going to give this building. We just knew we had extra. So this church, by the way, when you bring your tithes and offerings here, this, you don't bring your money to the church. You give through the church. So when you get it to the church, you give through. So missions are being happening, all kinds of things. So we were throwing $10,000 at these guys all the time. And then one day, there was a lady who stood on this pulpit. It wasn't like this. It was wood. And there's pews. And she said, can I just prophesy what the Holy Spirit is saying to me? And he says, sure. Because there's only a couple hundred people and they're broke and there's holes in the ceiling and it's just a mess. And she goes, this building doesn't belong to you. The Holy Spirit tells me this building belongs to she doesn't know me, a young David, which immediately he always called my dad Big Dave and he called me Young David because he and my dad grew up together. So they sold us this building. We didn't have the money to build it, to buy it. We traded them their building. I gave them $7.7 million. And right as soon as I'm walking around this property saying, God, give us the money. God, I know you're going to build a church. I see all this white fencing, this horse ranch behind us. It's never been for sale for 65 years. And they called and said, actually, I was walking back there and the Lord said, do you remember when you gave me all of your white fencing for your horses? Yeah. He said, do you believe I could give you back white fencing because you like it? To the church, and you could store props there, and you could have picnics there, and it wouldn't be about you or a horse anymore. It'd be about the community, but you would enjoy it. And I thought, I don't know. Have you ever heard from God, but you were like, I don't know if this is God or just my flesh? And so I was confused. But then they called Pastor Rick. Rick said, you won't believe it. We tried to buy when we were successful, back in the day, we tried to buy it. It hasn't been for sale in 65 years. And they called and said it's for sale. The grandfather said, if you ever sell it, you got to offer it to the church first. So he said, we're offering it to you. And it was at a time we didn't really have $650,000. We were buying this. But God supernaturally provided it, and now we own the property. The guy who actually was there, God blessed him with a super house. The guy's not even a Christian and that I know of. And blessed him in a big way because he sowed towards the house of the Lord. My point is that when God was doing all this years ago, and Rick Shelton and his church was building this church, I didn't know God was actually building it for us. I didn't know that I would kind of be a successor to him. I didn't know that our church would be a blessing to them and they would build this. In fact, we see through a glass darkly, when he built this church, he built it too close to our church. And my dad was mad because they were kind of the same kind of tribe. He said, I can't believe you're building it. Rick said, God told me to build it. My dad said, no, he didn't. God wouldn't do that. Then in the end of time, my dad goes to heaven. We needed a new church, and if the church had been a long way from our other church, it wouldn't have worked. It was exactly what God had planned the whole time. This building belonged to Young David. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm just telling you, the supernatural power of God is working behind the scenes. One last story, because I know I'm completely out of time, and you'll have to tell our city to stretch, and they're going to kill me. But Pastor Rick had given everything that he had, and see some of his business guys didn't do what was right. And now he was living in his mom's basement apartment. Can you imagine that? His mom's basement. Didn't have any money. We bought the building and took him out of debt and blessed him. And he came to me and he told me a story I'd never heard. He said, I was praying when you were a baby and God told me to go over to your dad's and give him the last $5 that I had. I knocked on the door and there your dad was. And your dad started crying because he said he was just praying for money to buy milk for you. He said, I went to the store with your dad and I brought milk. And I held you, David, in my arms when you were a baby. And I fed you. And now I'm an old man. And now you're holding me in your arms. And now you're feeding me. I'm just here to tell you that oftentimes God's doing things behind the scene that you don't see it here. And my dad never ever got to walk in and see what the Lord did. My dad never saw what happened. But I believe that there is a place in heaven where the good stuff we do, God opens up heaven and he allows the people that we love to see their heritage and what they were remembered for as people who said, I will bless God. I will bless his house. I will build the house of God. So there's no pressure whatsoever. If you want to help God in this church, you want to help me, I'm asking you to look over that brochure and say, I'll at least give $1,000. I'm talking to students right now. I gave my first $1,000 when I was 15 years old. And how I did it was $5. I had a little IOU. I said, I owe God $995. I still have the paper in my safe. That's what you do. You just start paying on it. And you'll be surprised what God would do. But I'm asking you, you. I'm asking everybody to do it.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.